Hi, and thank you for joining us for In All Things, a weekly podcast of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I'm Rachel Joseph. Your host for In All Things is Dean Weaver, State Clerk of the EPC. We pray that God uses Dean and his guests to inform and inspire you about the EPC and how God is working in and through our global movement of Evangelical Presbyterian Churches. The motto of our family of congregations is, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. Now, here's Dean.
And thank you very much, Rachel Joseph. And thank you, my friends, for being back with another edition of In All Things, and appreciate you joining us for this conversation. We drop episodes every Friday where you get your podcasts, wherever that might be. And if you don't have a favorite place, you can always go to epc.org, and we have that listed right there. And all of the previous podcasts, you can go back and get caught up. You can share them with others. Maybe you have a favorite that you want to go back and revisit. But every Friday, we drop a new episode, and we've been doing this now for a little over 2 years, and grateful to have so many people across the Evangelical Presbyterian Church that tune in and listen in. One of my favorites is an elder from Bayamon in Puerto Rico named Alfredo, I think, who when he picked me up at the airport, said, I listen every week, and I pass them on to all of our elders and make them listen, and then we talk about these things when we come to our session meetings, and I was blown away by that. Every presbytery I go to, someone will come up to me and say, oh, I've been listening to In All Things, and I love the interview with so-and-so, and I love the interview with so-and-so, and so we're grateful that that has gotten out there, because we are a pretty low-budget, low-key bunch. It's just conversations among brothers and sisters in Christ, talking about what God is doing in and through the EPC, and hopefully that's a blessing to people even well beyond the EPC, as I believe today's conversation will be one of my very dear and favorite people. She is a sister that if God said to me, I could give you a sister, I'd say, oh, give me Anid Flores. That's who I would want as my sister, because she is just someone who is just absolutely filled with the joy of the Lord and love being together. And so Anid, welcome to In All Things.
Well, thank you, Dean. I'm so happy to be in the office of the General Assembly and the EPC. Your team is wonderful. As usual, I feel like home.
Yes.
And yes, we do discuss In All Things, and we love it, actually, and we share it among each other, and we talk about it, and we're always looking forward to what it's going to be next.
Well, that's very kind of you. Anid is a ruling elder at Westminster EPC in Bayamon, Puerto Rico, and she's here in the office of the General Assembly because recently our Revelation 7-9 team was meeting, and she's part of that team. She's also been a part of the Next Gen Council. She has been, very recently, was the moderator of the Presbytery of Florida and the Caribbean. She turns up all kind of places. I mean, I ran into you, I think it was a year or two ago in Pittsburgh at the Jubilee Conference, where you brought a bunch of students from Puerto Rico to come to the conference, even in the snow. And so every time I turn around and I see Anid Flores, it's a better day for me. So
you know that I feel the same way when I see you. I'm so glad that you are the brother, the big brother that I don't have, because I have a small brother. And I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to always get together and talk and just, and sometimes even pray together.
Yeah.
And that's great. Thank you for your friendship.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for saying big brother rather than older brother.
Oh, no, no.
I
big
appreciate
brother.
That.
Big
okay.
Brother.
All right. That's very good. Well, today's episode of In All Things is brought to you by one of our four sponsors. We don't have many, but each are faithful and have given us $1 to become a sponsor. So that's all you have to do. If you want to be a sponsor on this podcast and you're connected to the EPC, just give us a buck and we'll put you on the list. We've got a framed dollar bill sitting here in our Global Command Center at In All Things to remind us of that. But our sponsor today is faithanddoubt.com. It's a blog about life's big questions where EPC author and pastor Tim Filston from First Presbyterian Church in Thomasville, Georgia, weighs in a very thoughtful, meaningful way, asking the questions that matter and probing those things from a biblical perspective in a pastor's heart. And he'll raise many of the questions that you have had, and they are good reading, and reading for you, not only for your own benefit, but to share with others. And we encourage you to go to faithanddoubt.com and take a look at some of the articles and entries that Tim has there. We think they will help you as you move along in your faith. Well, we're going to talk today. Anid is here for a bunch of other reasons, but one of the things we learned, Anid, is that you have just come out with a book.
Oh, yes.
So in addition to being an attorney, in addition to being a television star in Puerto Rico, I mean, you and Efrain have a television show where you give financial and legal advice, and it probably that advice that you've accumulated over the years that has led you to write your own book. In the English, it's Until Money Do Us Part. And what's the title in the Spanish?
That will be Hasta Que El Dinero Nos Separe. There was actually a TV show with that name. It was like a soap opera, but it hasn't been a book about it. And book, we did it on purpose. It's because money is a big issue in relationships, either in the relationships that you have in business, also in partnerships with your spouse, or if you're in any type of partnership that wants to move one way or the other. So the subtitle of it is just avoid the divorce,
right?
By using very well structured legal and financial strategies.
Yeah.
And with those, you can live forever happy.
Yeah.
So they say that I'm sarcastic sometimes. And yes, you know, I am.
You know, that's not a spiritual gift, right?
Sarcasm, as much as we want it to be,
it's not a spiritual gift.
But I was trying to make people think about it in terms of, what am I doing? Can I do better? That's the way we presented the book and the title.
So when I've been a pastor for 38 years in need, and I've done, I don't know, I've lost count, probably close to 500 weddings that I've done over the years, which is a lot of premarital counseling, because every couple that I have married, it's usually at least probably 8 to 10 hours of premarital counseling that goes in with that. And I think it's about my third session with them that I cover the areas where statistically we know that marriages break down, right? And the top three, number three is issues with your in-laws.
Oh, yes.
Right? Family.
Family issues.
Number two is sex. But the gap between number two and number one is huge. In fact, they're not even close. Number one is way out there by itself. The number one reason that we can trace back through marital breakdown is money.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have as humanity, that we will always want more.
Yeah.
And it's not only the first issue and the biggest issue in terms of partnerships, but it's also in terms of family issues.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in my years working with families. At the time that you die is when you see how the people are going to work out the will, if you want one, and I really recommend it, or the process of liquidation.
Yeah.
And I've seen siblings not speaking to each other for something small. It could be a small state, $50,000, probably $30,000, and for that, they get upset.
Wow.
So when we're talking about money, I think one of the biggest problems is that sometimes we want to have it, but we don't use it wisely.
Mm.
And one of the areas that we don't do it well, it's because we are too ambitious, one or two, because you don't understand that that's not yours, it's God's. And you have to be a very good steward of what you're receiving. And actually, I do have a chapter of stewardship in the book. As a Christian woman, I needed to present it not only financially and legally wise, but I tried to use biblical sense in terms of presenting this information, trying to be open but gracious about it. And I think we need to talk about money.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't do it. And I give you an example. My husband is a financial, and he co-authored one of the chapters with me in terms of what do I do with money?
You guys are a power couple because you're the attorney. Yes. He's the financial advisor. And you've got that television show in San Juan that is basically putting legal and financial advice together. So you guys are a power couple.
Yeah, we try just to give solutions. And obviously, our backgrounds is the banking industry. We work with risk and everything. But when we met and we decided to get married, he asked me to, before the wedding, he's like, I need you to open your books. And I'm like, open my books? And he's like, yeah, your financial books. I want to know what do you have, what you don't have.
Right.
You already know about me. And I'm like, why? I mean, hello, we're going to have a prenup. So we don't need this. And besides, I only do this with my CPA. So I'm sorry. And he's like, we cannot do that. And for me, it was like, I was doing everything just by myself before that, that it was incomprehensible.
Right.
And then I understood when we sat down and started to provide a sense of goals. And one of the goals was to have our own business. And he always had in the back of his mind that he wanted to be in TV or in radio. We started to create the strategy to do it because we knew that the banking industry was going through a change. It was the 2006, the big bubble.
So you guys started this in 2006?
Oh, yes.
And then everything
2008.
Eight's when it all went crazy.
Yes. Right. So in 2006, we started talking about it. And in 2008, we already started our business development company. Mm. And now we have like one business stop shop for everything.
Yeah.
So you can either have he's a realtor also. So you can have all the legal services and all the other services regarding to your estate, your properties. So we're trying to do everything up together. And because I do believe that those two things are going together. And I have the benefit of being in the banking industry beforehand and now being in the legal industry. The way I think it's totally different from maybe other lawyers. So
let's go back on two things that you raised, one explicitly and one that I heard in what you were saying that I'm going to draw out a little bit. The first is the notion of stewardship, right? And so as a Christian professional with a worldview, you not only have banking experience and legal experience particular to banking, but you bring with you a biblical worldview. You bring a understanding of finance and the world. I mean, it is said that Jesus talks more about money than any other thing in the New Testament, which is always a little stunning when you think about it. But then you have to probe the question, why? And what is he getting after? Because I don't think money is the point. I think something else is the point, which we can talk about. But before we do, you have a chapter in the book about stewardship. Why is understanding that your money is really all God's money? I mean, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. It all belongs to him. He places some in your care, and you're supposed to do good stuff with it, and you're also supposed to return some to him and do other good things with it. Why is that idea of stewardship so foundational to a healthy understanding of money, particularly in a marriage or a partnership?
Because if you believe that money is just to amount it and not do anything good with it, I mean, you're being greedy. And that's why Jesus spoke about money so much, because of the greediness. It's not because money is bad. It's right. The way you use it. And I do believe that you have a responsibility with giving your time, giving your talent, and giving your treasure. And you have to either do the three of them or at least one of them. And in any given situation, and if you start by thinking that you have a budget and you work with your budget and your budget, it's allocated as your wishes and your goals. And your first goal is to be a good steward of the money and what you have been given by God, that it's going to be your first item in your budget.
Right.
If you want other things, I mean, you will see your budget and the budget, and that is the first thing that you need to do. You need to budget everything. Even if you buy water all the time, bottles of water that it's probably $1 to $2, everyone, you need to budget that because money is running out from that outlet.
You're speaking my son-in-law's love language. He's a financial planner, and he is the king of budgets. And I would say, you know, Beth and I have not always lived on a good, strict budget, and he has really pressed that on us, especially as we get closer to retirement, mm-hmm. the importance of doing that. So, yeah, I mean, the idea that Jesus speaks so much about it is because of, you mentioned greed, and greed gets down to a question of the heart. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. So money often becomes an idol that displaces God. And God wants you to understand that money is a gift from him that should honor him, not displace him. And so Jesus is really competing for our heart's affections when he says this thing that you want to accumulate, you need to understand its purpose and how it is a gift and not something that is going to save you. Only Jesus can do that.
Not only that, when you die, you don't bring anything with you.
That's right.
So what is the necessity? I mean, what is the need? What is the goal behind it? And I mean, for example, I do work with people that are retiring, but you need to make a different kind of budget when you are moving towards retirement, but
right.
you need to work ahead. And it's never too late to get into it. Actually, when you have the ability to sit down and work with your goals, financial goals, and see where you're going with it, you will be able to see and save up to 20%. Mm. And sometimes you don't even think about it. Mm. So you need to be very responsible for what you have.
Yeah. So I want to go back to one other thing that was kind of implicit in what you said in you and Ephraim's story is this idea of mutuality. Like he envisioned the two of you starting a business together as a single person. You had your own kind of way of doing things, but now you're getting married to someone who has their way of doing things. And now you've got to figure out how you're going to do things together.
Yes.
So
and that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
And sometimes we think that because we have prenups and we have those contracts, we don't have to do that. And you are a family no matter what, and you have to work as a team. And I understood that there, obviously. And it was like an eye-opener for me. And I knew that my parents worked that way, but I was not getting married as a younger woman. I was getting married as a mature woman. So
I still think you're a younger woman, though very mature.
So I was like, okay, so let's start with this. And that's one of the things I tell people. I mean, you need to sit down and talk about this, but you have to approach it in a nicely way. It cannot be imposed. It has to be natural, and it's gonna have some grudges might flare up. However, it is the best way to end it up with a good solution. And also, I say, when you work with this, you have to be very, very transparent also if you have financial troubles with your kids. Sometimes we think that kids don't understand and they should not, that it's a problem from parents to solve. Big mistake. You all have something to put in. And I've seen it with kids that are like, you know what? I'm going to do this with my allowance. You know what? I want to help. I'm going to do this other things so I can help you with. And so you have to, you start as a partner, but you have to bring it up in a larger scale. Second of all, you have to do the same thing if you're thinking about having an entrepreneurship.
Okay.
I mean,
the
principles are for both ways.
Okay, got it.
So if you're going to be a business owner and you're going to have a partner, you have to do the same thing. And sometimes we don't tell the whole story. And that's where you have the big problems. When you're not open about it, when you're not honest about it, and when you're trying to hide some things that don't look good, you have to put it up in front of everybody and just sit down and work it out, because there's always a solution.
So I think we probably have started down this road, but I want to make sure we do. In your book, Until Money Do Us Part, there are financial and legal strategies that you outline. Could you give us a few maybe beyond what you've mentioned already? Are there some specific financial and legal strategies that would be good to highlight?
One of the financial strategies that it's important, you always, always, no matter what or how much money do you own, you always can save. And some people say, I cannot save it. I don't have enough. If you feel that you don't have enough, you have to revise your budget. Because you always should be able to save. Start with 1%, go 2%, 3%, go up. Before you think about investment big, start by saving big for emergencies. For those things that you don't know what's going to happen, that it might flare up at some point. That's one financial. In terms of legal, check out if your house is secured. It's either by insurance, with the right insurance, or if has any other legals ways of doing it. That's, for example, back home in Puerto Rico and in some states in the United States, you have what it's called the Acta Hogar Seguro. It's like your home is secure for anyone that it comes to in terms of litigation. Obviously, if you don't pay your mortgage, that it's not involved. But if it's for credit cards or something like that, there's legal ways of save you and keep your house out of litigation. So that's one strategy that
that's
I always
one of our,
said.
The building equity in a home is one of the, if not the primary way of wealth accumulation, right?
Yes. And actually, if you are in an accident and you have a lawsuit for that, that's the first thing that they're going to go and trying to have embargo and alliance right. on it. So you have to save yourself because that's the place where you live with your family.
Okay,
and that's so, probably the place where you have more equity.
So first financial strategy is everybody can save.
Yes.
Start small.
Start
work
small.
Your budget so that you can grow it incrementally. And the first legal would be make sure you've secured your home against particularly liability issues.
And hurricanes, yep. Fires, everything. I mean, you have to secure
protect
your house.
That
protect
asset.
That house.
Right.
And you have different avenues to do it.
Right.
I will say a second thing that it's important to work in terms of financially and legally. You have to make sure that you have your state divided properly if you want to have, if you want to do it that way. In the United States, every state is different. Back home in Puerto Rico, there's a 50% of your state. It's totally secure for your kids. If their kids are not there, the grandkids, I mean, it's for them and it's for your spouse because the law changed, which is good. So it's as a way of making sure that they will have something to keep going. So make sure if you don't have those laws in your home, in your state, you can do it by writing a will.
Right. And people should do that immediately. Like that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I need people think, you know, they put off.
I'm too young.
I'm too young. These days, putting off getting health insurance, wills, I recently went and bought my grave plot for where I will be buried someday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my family thought that was really morbid. I mean, what are you doing going? I'm like, I'm thinking ahead and I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. But I wouldn't want my family, if something were to happen to me,
to go through that burden.
Going through that burden of saying, well, where does Dad want to be buried, you know? I've solved that for them and that's taken out of the equation.
And
so.
That's great. And that's another thing. People don't like to talk about death. I mean, if you're alive, for sure, you're going to die.
Yeah, one out of one, statistically.
Statistically.
Yeah, exactly right. So no matter how young you are, you can, and you know, getting a will is actually pretty easy. You can go to like websites and get them and you just got to get them notarized or have somebody. I mean, always better to go to a legal professional to make sure that you cover stuff because there's always complications that you want to look
at. In Puerto Rico, it's different because you have to go to a lawyer.
Gotcha.
And it gets registered.
Yeah.
It's different from the United States, but here it's more affordable and it's easier in that way.
Okay. All right. So any one more before we wrap it up? I mean, so we've got, you know, in terms of finances, you know, everybody can save legally. You want to make sure you secure your greatest asset, which is your home. But also we want to look at this idea of making sure you got a will, which kind of covers both legal and financial stuff. Do you have one more gem for us before we close it up?
Yes, actually, you have to study. You have to study.
And what, do you mean by that? Study what?
You have to read. You have to be informed. Be careful with misinformation and everything that is out there. Just get a coach. Get a financial advisor. Study good material. Read books. You need to be informed because that's the way that people will not get tricked. Because now we have so many people that call themselves advisors and that they know and the gurus and you can be rich tomorrow, which is not true. I mean, it is with hard work that we can do what we're supposed to do. And then with that hard work and the work that you have and what you get, then you have to provide to others. So I believe that you have to be financially savvy and legally savvy. And you can do it by listening to very good financial and, I mean, like our TV show. Our TV show is to keep people informed, but besides that, to teach them different tools, different ways, because people need to get the information.
So here's a piece of information that I learned when I became state clerk that I did not know. And I learned this from our benefits department. We have a Benefits Resources, Inc., which is a part of the EPC, is two things. It's health benefits and it's retirement benefits. It's in a pastor's terms of call that the church must provide 10% of their compensation towards their retirement. Now, it's not required on the life insurance side that it has to be, or the investment side, that it has to be with the EPC. The health side, it's supposed to be with the EPC. Now, our investments are very, very good and all that kind of stuff. But what I did not know is that the EPC's retirement plan, which is a 403B, that actually pastors in their retirement can withdraw a portion of that as part of a housing allowance, even when they're retired. So even their retirement savings can be sheltered from taxes. But if you have your retirement investment in another tool, which are good investment tools, they're not going to be tax sheltered and take advantage of this opportunity to use what pastors get, which is a housing allowance. I knew I could get a housing allowance when I was working. I didn't know I could use the housing allowance in my 403B in retirement. That was new information to me. And I always tell everybody, if you're not in a 403B and you're a pastor, you're throwing away money.
Not only that, you cannot put liens towards that money. Oh. It is totally legally protected. Because it's your retirement plan.
See, this is new information.
And people don't think about it. Annuities, that's another way to invest. And you can have very good return and your shelter. So those are the things that you learn either by reading my book. And obviously, right now is for a Hispanic audience. And
right. Is there plans at some point to translate into English?
Yes, actually, but also, part of it is like some of the legal strategies might not work in the United States and it might do
right.
Because
so
we
have
different ways.
Stateside edition.
Yes. Okay. So, and that's my husband was asking about that. You know, Efrain, he's so ahead. And he's like, I was like, can we enjoy this first part first and then we go to the next one? So, it is something that I wish I could do. I mean, we do have a lot of English-speaking people in Puerto Rico, so it's something that it's in process. Right now, it's very well into civil and more Hispanic, and people actually for here in Florida wants to move to Puerto Rico. It's a way of knowing what to do and how to work it out, or in the United States, anywhere. So because we are having people coming in. So it's a way of knowing what's going on, but it's also a way of just thinking about money, probably in a different way.
So the English title is Until Money Do Us Part, which I love. And the Spanish title again is?
Hasta que el dinero nos separe.
Okay. And if someone listening to us wanted to get a hold of that book, how would they do that?
Right now it's available at Amazon and either in the paperback or Kindle edition. You can just download it there. You can use my name, Enid Flores, and it will be, just search an issue appear. Also, we're going to, back home, we're going to have like different workshops. I do believe that we need to give workshops to people just in order for them to learn how to handle money in different stages of their lives. And the book will be provided there.
Super. Thank you. Well, thank you for stopping by. I know you had a busy couple days with the work of the 7-9 team, but to make time to have this conversation with us has been a blessing to me, and I trust it'll be a blessing to those who are listening.
Big blessing for me. Thank you so much for inviting me. I did my pre-launch for the book and the book reveal here, actually, in the APC. So that's been a big thing for me. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. Great to see you. Well, my friends, that wraps up another conversation, a delightful one at that. And we're grateful for your time to join us in that. We hope that you might like this and share it with others, that they might be encouraged too, because God gives, I think the Bible says at one point, it's God who gives us the ability to make wealth. And it's a blessing. And it can be a blessing to others when we realize we've been blessed to be a blessing. And learning those principles, whether it's for your marriage or for your business relationships, just really a great tool for people to have, especially as they're getting started out, so they get started out on the right foot. So we're grateful for that. So as we close this time, we do as we always do from God's word, from Colossians chapter 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. All things. That's legal things. That's financial things. That's all the things that the legal and the financial point us to and help us with. All things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and they're for him. You see, he is before all things, my friends, and in him, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in him, all things hold together. For he is the head of the body, the church, and that includes our blessed family that is the EPC. Until the next time when we gather for a conversation again in this venue, until then, my friends, I bid grace and peace to you.
Thank you again for joining us. On behalf of the entire team, please join us for our next episode. For more information about the EPC, including a directory of local churches, online resources, and much more, visit our website at www.epc.org. I'm Rachel Joseph. I pray you have an overwhelming sense of God's presence in all things today.